Dr. Michelle Maloney is an environmental lawyer and is co-founder and national convener of the Australian Earth Laws Alliance. Michelle holds a Bachelor of Arts and Law with honours from the Australian National University and a PhD in Law from Griffith University. She is co-founder and a steering group member for the New Economy Network Australia and is an adjunct senior fellow at the Law Futures Centre at Griffith University in Queensland.
Michelle, who or what is Australian Earth Laws Alliance?
So the Australian Earth Laws Alliance, or AELA, is a not-for-profit organisation. We were created in 2012 by a group of very concerned environmental lawyers. The reason we were formed is that we could see the role that law and governance plays in modern industrial society and how it can help destroy the natural world. So AELA today, 6 years later, is a network of professionals across all sectors, law, economics, philosophy, ethics, politics, interested in really a fairly simple idea. How can we shift current industrial society from being growth-focused and human-centered to being something that is about earth-centeredness, placing human beings back into a fair place in amongst the interconnected community? So our vision is to shift human societies towards an earth-centered way of being, and how we do that is, I guess, implemented across a whole range of different programs. So we often get asked, what's the difference between rights of nature laws or earth laws and current environmental laws? It's a really important question. So if we start from the beginning, one of the reasons that earth jurisprudence has even emerged, this emerging theory of earth-centered law and governance, is that our current Western industrial legal system basically treats the living world as if it's property. Now, let me give you an example. So when the British moved into Australia in 1788, they brought with it an entirely different legal system to that which had been here before, and immediately declared that pretty much all of the land belonged to the crown, so it belonged to the government. From that, the government owns the land and it either allows private citizens to buy and sell it, or they lease it. For example, they'll lease it to a mining company, or they'll lease it to Coal Seam Gas or a cattle station. Once people have that right, either through purchase or lease, the right over property, they can often do whatever they want. If there's no positive covenants or there's no legal requirements to do a good thing, they can do whatever they want. And for people who are questioning, well, is that true? Can they do whatever they want? Just have a look at the statistics on land clearing in this country, or the complete destruction of most of our wildlife that had any commercial value, pelts, furs, even kangaroos today. We treat the living world as if it's property. We are allowed, indeed encouraged through our current legal system, to use it up. And there are very, very few actual limits or even an understanding on what looks healthy in the systems we use. So the contrast is that the rights of nature movement states that from any way you look at it, moral, ethical, scientific, human beings are nothing more on this earth than a bunch of molecules. And we have evolved over billions of years in partnership and in an interconnected way with all of the other life on earth. We can't exist without air to breathe, water to drink, stuff to eat. We are singularly interconnected to the living world. Rights of nature and earth laws wants to shift the current dominant legal system so that it actually respects life. So that life is not just property that we can buy and sell and do whatever we want with and occasionally stick in a national park or patch up when it's damaged. It has to be primary. And the reason I love earth jurisprudence is the way that people like Thomas Berry has framed it, and the way that First Nations people talk about their own earth-centered culture, is that the living world is primary, and everything we do needs to fit within the healthy functioning of the interconnected ecosystem. So rights of nature, to me personally, is an effective way to spearhead a really important conversation. If you say rights of nature, people instantly get that you're trying to protect the natural world in a different way. They kind of get that you're challenging the legal system's treatment of it. So it's about both systemic change, and it's also about really helping people to have the conversation that comes after, well, how do you do rights of nature, or what does that look like? Then people have to be really thinking about how we use the land and the earth now and how we should use it.
And what is being done by Australian Earth Laws Alliance to implement earth jurisprudence in Australia?
Yes, earth jurisprudence is a great term. It was kind of a frame that was coined by Thomas Berry back in 1999 when he wrote a book called The Great Work, Our Way into the Future. Earth jurisprudence can be seen as an emerging theory, not just of law, but of governance, an emerging theory that says that the planet's health and our ecosystem health, the Earth, should be at the forefront of all of our decision-making, the health of the Earth. So Earth jurisprudence really refers to the theory of governance that rethinks our entire system to shift towards an Earth-centered way of being. So what we're doing to implement Earth jurisprudence fits within, I guess, the mission statement. We want to increase people's understanding of Earth-centeredness, and we want to make very practical steps to achieve that. So really what we do is we analyse how systems work now and we identify ways to change those systems in a way that's manageable.
Michelle, when do you think that earth law will be legislated in Australia?
Ah, that is a tough question. So by questioning how our current governance system works, one of the many threads within the earth jurisprudence blanket is rights of nature. Rights of nature and earth-centered law is only one part of earth jurisprudence. So with that in mind, when might rights of nature be implemented in Australia? It's very difficult to say. There's a lot of community interest, particularly in the last 12 months, since we've seen these interesting developments in New Zealand, India, Colombia, and other places. But as and when laws shift depend very much on the culture and the context. Australia has a very stable legal system, which is a very positive thing. It's why most people live in a fairly comfortable way. But it does also mean that changing laws, particularly radically changing laws, can be very difficult. So I don't know. Perhaps it could take many years. It could be much quicker if climate change and other environmental stresses push communities to a place where they really need the change and they need those living systems to be protected more effectively.
Now, I've heard that that you hold conferences across Australia. Where and when is the next Earth Laws Conference?
Yeah, we are actually very excited about our conference in October. So on the Thursday the 25th and Friday the 26th of October here in Brisbane at the Griffith University's Eco Centre, we're holding a very special gathering. We're calling it our International Symposium, but the theme is exploring our legal relationship with the living world. We have guest speakers including Cormac Cullinan, who wrote a really important book, Wild Law, Klaus Bosselmann, who's one of the world's leading environmental and ecological lawyers, we've got an amazing lawyer from Ecuador, and very, very importantly, we've got a very strong Indigenous presence. So we have First Nations speakers, including the incredible Professor Irene Watson from Adelaide, Mary Graham, Associate Adjunct Professor from University of Queensland, and Jacinta Ruru from New Zealand. And she's an expert on some of the developments in New Zealand under the Treaty of Waitangi. So the next conference is going to be very exciting.
Now, would you consider that the Darling River is a good test case for earth law, to be given a legal right to flow and flourish?
My short answer is yes. My longer answer is, from what I'm seeing in terms of the community's interest in protecting this very important ecosystem, is it's a prime place for people who love country and care about what's going on to rise up together. Because I think in Australia, arid communities have so much to lose from the deterioration of water supplies. There's just no buffer. There's going to be no life in any of our arid areas if we don't care for our waterways. So I think absolutely what's going on in those communities is critically important. And we, you know, if we can find new ways of engaging policymakers and decision makers to pay attention to the change that has to happen, then I would think that that's surely a good thing.
Well, I guess that almost answers the question of why do you believe in earth jurisprudence?
I love that question. I can tell you with great love and enthusiasm why I believe in it. It's because from the moment I could reach out and touch other animals and engage with the living world, I knew that we were just one part of this incredible interconnected community. And I think today's Western style, industrial style civilization is built on the flawed idea that we can treat other things in the living world as wherever we wish, however we wish. So I love Earth jurisprudence because it provides both a rational, practical way to push back at the systems that are destroying the Earth, but it also allows for, as Cormac Cullinan says, for us as people to bring our whole selves to the party and to engage as emotional beings who love this place to change the system.
And we are, after all, just a part of nature ourselves.
That's all we are. Bunch of molecules, all wrapped up in skin.
How can other people get involved in Australian Earth Laws Alliance?
Well, we are a member-based organisation. There's lots of different ways that people can get connected. If you go onto our website, which is earthlaws.org.au, we have a mailing list. You can also email us and tell us about any projects you're interested in. We've had members in the past actually come to AILA with issues and projects they'd like to develop, and we will help nurture that, act as an umbrella space. So we've got a whole range of projects across building the new economy network, to having biannual Earth Ethics conferences, to doing online publications. We've just given our first workshops into high schools. We teach at universities. There is all manner of ways that people can get involved. And I've saved the best for last. If people want to volunteer for AILA, they just have to get in touch. We've got a lovely network of 20 professional and student volleys. We're all volunteers. And if you really feel excited, you could always donate and give us a little bit of cash to keep ourselves going.
Thank you, Michelle. And it seems to me that you've given people food for thought, that there are other ways of doing things so that we can look after our planet.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Earthlink Studios is an independent media production collective devoted to informing with facts and trends about those things that determine our collective futures. To contact Earthlink Studios, send an email to earthlinkstudioproductions@gmail.com. That is all one word with no spaces. To find out more about issues and matters related to the Darling River, go to the Vanishing River website, www.thevanishingriver.com.au. thevanishingriver.com.au